Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer Podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Stephanie and it's 2024 and we're in season four. My fourth year of this podcast, and I'm really, really excited about this year and all of the cool stuff that we're going to do. I wasn't sure how I want to start out the year with the first podcast of this season, but I'm going to kick it off with a really casual but fun episode. Three of my running friends have come on, and we're kind of doing a true or false quiz style podcast. It's for new runners, true or false for new runners, but it could be for really any runner. So I'll be interested to hear the feedback. Make sure you listen and feel free to leave me a message. You can record a message right here on the platform that you're listening to the podcast and give me some feedback and tell me what you think about this episode. I hope you love it. Thanks.
Good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to another episode of the Bluegrass Bammer Podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. And today I not only have one guest, but I have three guests on the podcast. So for the intro of 2024, you all may have heard that we are doing things a little bit different at the Bluegrass Bammer Podcast this year. We're adding in some different formatting to our different episodes, and we're also going to be bringing in different experts from the field of running to be able to come in and talk with us on some kind of hot topics or educational topics. This year people have asked for it, and so I thought it would be good to mix it up a little bit. So this podcast, we have three what I would like to call content experts, or we have a lot of, I guess, cumulative wisdom in this podcast episode. I will say we're not professional experts in running. We all have day jobs and other professions. But today I have Olivia Jarrell with me, Melissa Davis, and Sherry Besh. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you.
Hi. Good.
Are you guys excited to be here?
Yes.
Of course.
Good. Yeah. Good. So for those of you who don't know, the three ladies that are on the podcast with me today are also, they're part of my running community here in the Louisville, Kentucky area, but they're also really special friends. We run together, but we do non-running related things together also. And so we have, when I say we have a lot of collective wisdom, I hope that feels accurate. But is that fair to say, you guys? Would you say we have some collective wisdom?
For sure.
Yeah. Our running journeys have all been different and they've ebb and flowed, mm-hmm. I think, but we've all had different goals and we've all had, obviously, we have different life circumstances. So that's kind of lended to this broader, like, collective knowledge that we have for sure. So none of us get paid to run, right? Do any of you get paid to run and I don't know about it?
Oh, that would be nice. Like, how do we do that? Sign us up.
if anyone's listening, and then you'll pay us to run, we'll do it. I don't have many restrictions on that. Now, Sherry is a bib rate pro, or had been a bib rate pro with me for several years now. We don't get paid to do that. We do get special incentives and like perks for testing gear, running gear, and going to races. And that's really just to give back to the community. So that's what we really love, but we don't get paid for that. But we do have a lot
my
of
Venmo is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put that in the show notes, everyone's individual Venmo accounts for anyone who has pity on us because we always could use new running shoes. So here's kind of how I want to start the podcast today, because I hope that we avoid any type of inside jokes, but I can't guarantee that that's going to happen in this podcast. I don't know about any of you, but I have a frosty adult beverage, and guests feel free to share if you have a adult beverage, but things could get funny here in a little bit. So we'll see what happens. Just ignore us if we get a little bit loopy, but I'm really excited to have you all here and just talk about running because those are my friends and running are two of my favorite things. But I want you all to briefly introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about who you are, as much as you want to share, but then also how long you've been running and any other special just running related fact or fun thing about you that you want us to know, just so the readers get, or the readers, the listeners get to kind of know you a little bit better. So Olivia, why don't you go first?
Oh, sure. Olivia Jarrell. I have been running off and on for about 20 years since middle school. I started track and then quickly realized longer distances were my thing. So I, you know, the off has been more like during college. I would go like a month without running and then run 5 miles. And then more recently, I have 2 kiddos, 3 and younger. So I ran all through my first pregnancy, but then was terribly sick through my second. So took quite a while off and then have dealt with some injuries since having my second child. So again, off and on for the last probably 2.5 years. I'm currently in the on, but working my way up very slowly through a modified couch to 5K type program to make sure I'm avoiding injury.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how we're not in college anymore and we can't just like take a break and come right back to where we were when we left off. So
right, exactly.
And any fun fact or anything about you that you want the listeners to know, Olivia? It can be running related or not.
A fun fact about me? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's running related. A lot of times right now, if I want to get a running break, my older kiddo who's 3 loves to be like, oh, we're going on a run. Mm-hmm. So I will be pushing my almost 40-pound toddler around a lot in a stroller. So that's my extra weight training.
Yes, that's your strength training. Man, I just have so much respect for people that can push tiny humans in a stroller and run at the same time. I didn't do that with my little ones. I kind of regret that I didn't. Chris did all the pushing so I could have time to myself. But now that I know how awesome it is, I wish I'd done it. So, all right, Melissa, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I'm Melissa Davis, also known as Melissa Beth on Facebook.
There's more than one Melissa Davis.
yeah, there is. Even in our SRTT group, there is. So a little bit about my running journey. I played soccer throughout most of high school, a little bit in college. So literally running was my sports punishment. I continued to play soccer into my 30s when I kind of came to realize that like that hurt my joints really badly. And turf doesn't feel quite so good when you fall, which happens a lot. So when I turned 30, I decided to just start running to see. Actually, I signed up for the Kentucky Derby Festival half marathon like the year I turned 30 and thought, I'm going to give this a go. So I'm outing my age, but 14 years later, I'm still running and it's just something I enjoy, and I think it's helpful for my mental health as well.
Yeah, I think your fun fact is that you signed up for your first half like when you were 30. That's a fun fact. I used to think 30 was old, like a long time ago. So
yeah,
if I'd known you when I was younger, I would have been like, "Woo, sure you want to do that, Melissa?" I don't know. Sounds like a lot for 30.
It definitely was, I thought at that time. I thought I was really old, and now reality is a little bit different, huh?
Yeah, for sure. All right, and last but not least, Sherry, tell us a little bit about you.
Let's see. I have been running for, I think, about 14 years, and I never ran growing up. I was super unathletic. I was always overweight, so I discovered running when I decided to try and lose some weight and get healthy, and I just kind of stuck with it. Actually, I ran with Olivia this morning. I ran with Melissa on Thursday, so part of my regular running crew. I get, what else do you want? A fun fact, a running
Yeah,
fun
fun
fact?
fact about you. Come on, I know you got one. Two.
Oh yeah. So I'm at the stage in my life, and I have been for a few years, where my husband Mike and I like to take racecations. So he is a triathlete and I'm a runner. So we will pick races in places we've never been to and go and, do the race and then stay a few days to explore. And some places are a little more exciting than others. Like we went last year, we were in Savannah, which was a super cool place to check out. I did a half marathon there. And then, no shade on Milwaukee, but I don't think that people think about Milwaukee as a destination location necessarily. But Mike did USAT age group nationals there. He's actually done it twice and we loved it so much. That's why we went back the second time. So we really enjoyed Milwaukee. And then this year, our racecation will be to Montana because I'm going to run the Missoula Marathon. And then we're going to go to Glacier for a few days after that. So we are big racecation people.
Yeah, destination racecation. We've
Right.
One of the things we've noticed, we have made some trips specifically for a race and then built other things around it. But the last time we did that, I think, was like in 2019, my husband and I. But we do now as a family, our kids are older, and what we will find is like we were just somewhere. I mean, it wasn't very far from here, but we were leaving. It was Owensboro. And we had been there for the weekend for something non-running related. And we got up that morning to leave because it was just time to, I mean, we were just ready to go. And as we were leaving, there was a 5K going on downtown, and we were like, we totally could have signed up for that.
Yeah.
So
Well,
we've got to
and
plan better.
another fun fact is that the four of us will be doing a destination race this year too, because we're all doing Radnor, Michigan in June. So that's exciting.
It is so exciting. That's going to be a completely another podcast episode once we make it back from that.
Yes.
I realize I erred by not doing a post trail Ragnar Arizona trail podcast. I should have done that, but man, it would have been like a 3 hour podcast episode. We would have had to like chop it up,
So much content.
so much
Yeah.
content, so many stories. And thank God there's more than one person on your team at Ragnar, because you need that many people to remember everything that happened. Half the time you're missing it because you're out like running. And then the rest of the time, there's like something going on over here, but something's going on over here. But then right at the tent, something's happening. And if you have enough people, everybody, you can collectively like capture all the stories. But it takes a village to recreate Ragnar experience in writing or on a podcast, that's for sure. Okay, well, I love all of those fun facts about you all. But now I just want to get right into the podcast episode because this is the fun part. So we had a couple of people that had posted, well, I think people had left comments on the podcast. Like there's a little button you can use to get feedback on the podcast. And I had asked, what kind of topics do you want to hear about? Lots of times the format is we do an interview with someone to learn more about their running journey. But I specifically asked, what would you like to know more about? And we had some people that said, I'm a new runner. So anything that will help me, like anything that will help me, any advice that you would give new runners, would love to hear more about that. And so that wasn't very specific. So then I decided to go online and ask people that were runners, that had been runners for a while, what their advice would be. And so then I took like a lot of those comments and then just came up with kind of a theme, some themes from those comments, and turned it into like game show trivia, true or false questions. So I think what we'll do, Sherry, is just start with you, and I'm going to ask a couple of questions here to each of you, and it's just true or false. And there's no wrong answer. I'll ask the
Then why am I
question.
nervous?
I don't know, because I can tell all three of you just like held your breath when I said that. Again, I've already did this disclaimer. We are not experts. There's someone that's like going to disagree with your answer, right? Like, and quite frankly, all three of you may not agree on the one answer for the question, and that's okay. So don't be nervous. I think that you just be honest and you can give your own account of why you think it should be a true or false, or you can come with some scientific journals and back your answer. Either way, it's fine.
It
Okay.
won't be
Well, I mean,
that.
Olivia and I are Enneagram ones, so we're perfectionists and we like to be right. So
Well,
we'll see what happens.
I think the
Hopefully we
conviction is
agree.
there. Yeah. Your wall will both be like this, this or this, both ways.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
You know, 90% of it is just being sure of yourself. The 10% is the fact part, you know, so confidence speaks very strongly. So, okay. Are you guys ready? Do you have any questions about this? And even though it's game show-esque, it's not really, no one's getting like points or dinged or anything like that.
So we're not getting money again.
There's no money again. There's no compensation for the recording of
this
podcast.
There's no buzzer.
Nothing. I can't even shock you.
The Drew Carey show where he says that the points are made up and they don't matter. Or
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, what is that show?
Is that the Price Is Right? To go on.
Whose line is it anyway?
Oh yeah, that's a fun show.
Oh yeah, improv.
Those were like all comedians on that show. We're not even comedians, so it's not even going to be the same.
We are pretty funny though.
We crack ourselves up. I'll say that. So. I hope the listeners are ready. That's all I can say. Okay. First question. We're going to go start with Sherry. Sherry, I'm going to let you answer, give your true, false answer, and then explain if you would like to extrapolate on your answer. And then Olivia and Melissa, feel free to buzz in and just, you know, give your two cents. If you disagree, why? Or maybe just add on to, you know, whatever Sherry's already said. Okay. All right, first question, Sherry, true or false? You should not, as a new runner, you should not stress about your pace. True or false? As a new runner, you shouldn't stress about your pace.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. You should not stress about your pace. I don't care how long you've been running. Well, unless, let me back up. Unless your goal, unless you're an experienced runner and you're trying to get faster, maybe you would stress, but like pace is, I think pace is something when you're first starting out that you do kind of worry about because it's natural to compare yourself to other people, but it's definitely not something that you should stress about. Like everybody's out there doing their own thing. So.
Do you remember when you started running, were you stressed about your pace or were you just like, I don't want to die? I mean, where were you on the scale of pacing here?
So I started with Couch to 5K. I know Olivia referenced earlier that she's kind of getting back on the Couch to 5K thing. So no, I didn't care about pace at all. It was more about, you know, making sure I could run for as long as I was supposed to during that workout. So that's what I was concerned about, was just making sure I was continuing to run. Like I don't think that pace was ever even something I thought about until I ran my first race, which was throwing it back here, the Anthem 5K. Or no, there was actually a Girl Scout race I did, but I don't even remember what my pace was. But I remember the Anthem 5K, there's a certain time that I wanted to achieve, and I did achieve it. But I just kind of picked that time out of nowhere. Like, I just plucked it out of the air. So.
Melissa, Olivia, anything you think Sherry's right or anything you want to add to that?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that because I've been running since I was a teenager, while I mentally agree, like I agree the answer is true, but it's so hard when, you know, I was a pretty good runner in high school. Like I was, you know, top five in regionals and top 30 in state. And so looking at like a 6:30 mile that I could run when I was 15 and today, Sherry mentioned we ran together today. Today they were like 12 minutes and some, like what my mile time is literally almost double sometimes what it used to be. So it's hard to, you know, like it just processing that. And talking myself through like, you know what, like your body has done a lot of other stuff. So that's okay. You know, I have to constantly remind myself that my body is not 15 and can't be fueled off of Doritos and Pop-Tarts anymore.
Sadly.
So I don't know, Melissa, since you've been an athlete since you were young, I'm sure you've probably experienced some of that too.
Yeah, it's funny because like when I signed up for my first race, my goal was, this won't surprise you all, but my goal was to finish without puking.
For multiple reasons.
For multiple reasons. So that was like, that was it. Cross the finish line and don't puke. So yeah, I don't know that I ever really worried about pace until I had been running, I think, for a few years. So definitely true. And like, even when I played soccer, obviously, like, we had to run sprints and things like that, but I didn't have any concept of like how fast or slow I was. So, because we didn't really time our miles or anything at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of the people,
don't obsess.
Okay. So all three are say true. And I would agree too. I think the thing that I see a lot of new runners and then people with the comments were saying was, I didn't even know what pace I was running, you know, or they're in the running group and you're saying, what pace would you like to run at the group run? And they're like, I don't know what my pace is. And then once they know, then it becomes like really stressful as a new runner to be in a group with a bunch of really experienced runners, because you're like, oh crap, I'm running quote unquote slow compared to a lot of other people. And, you know, it can kind of set you up for some disappointment, maybe, depending on what type of person you are. But I think, you know, it's all about first just that build up and like, let's not worry about your pace. Let's just worry about, you know, how far can you make it without dying or puking? You know, I think those are all good meters. So I'm glad you all agree on that, because I think that's a good message for anybody. And it also applies to other sports, I would say as well. Just like swimming, don't expect to get in the swim lane and swim 100 meters. You've never swam before without, because you're probably going to puke or drown. I don't know which one, but
I would drown. I can't do it's that hard. Fancy turn.
Yeah, the turning, waterboarding yourself. It's not fun. So, okay. Well, good. Good answers. I like all those answers. There's a little bit of experience in the back of those answers. All right, Melissa, this question is for you. Okay. True or false? Oh, you ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false? Recovery is not as important when you are just starting out as a new runner.
Did you pick this question for me on purpose?
I'm not saying I may have picked the themes to go with the person answering the question or not. I'm just saying it could be coincidental.
Okay. So I think you said recovery is not as important.
True or false? Recovery is not as important when you are just starting out. Like, you shouldn't be worried about recovery as a new runner.
Okay, false. Sorry, I had to make sure that I think recovery is important when you're a new runner. Definitely, like, I know.
Do you care to explain mean? Do you care to back up and just explain what recovery is to people who may not understand the concept or know what the concept?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I remember when I started out. When I first started out, it was like, okay, I got to run 5 days a week, 3 miles, all 5 days, blah, blah. And that was a recipe for burnout, also probably a recipe for injury. But at that point, like, I didn't know what I was doing. So something could have hurt and I just kept going. I'm not sure. But I think, like, the older I get, maybe it's wiser too, but also I think my body has more to say about things these days. But the older I get, the more I recognize that I really need to have rest days. I need to have even active recovery days. So maybe I'm not running, but I'm walking or doing some gentle yoga or those kinds of things to help my body recover. I think it can be quite dangerous to do like a streak or especially for starting out. I would not recommend streaking. Actually, I don't recommend streaking to anyone if I'm completely honest. But if you're first starting out, I think 2 to 3 days a week of running and then build from there and giving your body time to recover and rest from new new, I don't know, experiences, I guess.
Yeah, I'm always conflicted with streaking. I mean, we had a January 30 for 30 challenge in our running group right now, but we amended it so that it wasn't a 30-day run streak. It's just a 30-day put your body in motion. So it was more of, you know, on the days that you maybe weren't running, maybe you were doing some of the activities you were talking about. For me, it's not hard to do that because I have dogs that have to be walked. So I can count that as my streak day or whatever, but also just getting in that like gentle stretching, yoga, whatever. I don't think there's anything as a total rest day for me because my family doesn't really allow for that, for that luxury, but also dogs. But I mean, I think a little walk around the neighborhood is not what we're talking about here. I mean, unless you're injured, and then that's a whole different thing. But yeah, we do see, I'm sure you all have seen instances, whether it's in our running group or just people you know that started out really hard because they're very excited about it and it feels good. It makes them feel good and kind of that endorphin rush. And then, you know, they do end up with the dreaded shin splints, which we hear a lot about, or, you know, some pulls or some strains. So I like your answer. It was very good. Does anyone else want to add to that or subtract from that?
No, I know you're all running philosophies. Yeah. No, I think streaking, like, there are so many people I see doing it, and not necessarily people I personally know, but like people on Instagram or whatever. And that's cool if it works for them, but kind of like what Melissa was saying, I think it's a recipe for injury. And I know even when I was first starting out, to what you were saying, Stephanie, about, you know, it's, you can be active more than one day in a row, but switch it up so it's not just running. So I think when I was first starting out and doing Couch to 5K, I would run 3 days a week, you know, every other day. And then I think on my off days, maybe I would get on the elliptical or something like that. So I do like to be active. You know, Fridays are always my dedicated rest day, but like you, I have two dogs. So I'm at least walking, but I don't really count that as a workout per se. I know, I think Melissa was right on the money.
And there's the mental part of that too, with burnout, you know, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, about like, you feel like you got to stay, like you got to keep up with everybody else. So there's that part of it too. You see everybody else doing it. We, the three of us or the four of us, live in this vacuum that's not a real world. And I don't think we've talked about this before, but like, we all think all women our age do this too, which is, it's, that's not the case, but we see it every day. Like, you can literally expose yourself to it over and over every day in the running group. And then it feels like that's the norm. That's the expectation, and you can burn yourself out mentally and physically trying to keep up with everybody else that way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with your all's thoughts about that. I know that there are people that love to streak. I'll tell y'all a secret. If I get on Instagram, like, someone's followed me, I won't follow them back if they're streakers. It stresses me out. It stresses me out. I won't follow them back. Like, if that's in their bio, or they're like, I'm on day 4,599 of a 5K or whatever, I'm like, oh, I can't.
That's where she draws the line.
I mean,
what happens if you're sick? Like, are you like, oh, gotta get out, run my 5K?
They do. I'm like, are you getting paid?
There's something to be said for momentum, but like, that's too much. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, yeah. Anyway, that's my secret. And I'm sorry if anybody's listening and it has that in your Instagram bio, because probably not following you right now. It just stresses me. It's not you, it's me. I can't handle it. It stresses me out. I'm worried about you. So, okay, Olivia, I've got one for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. True or false? As a new runner, the right running shoes are extremely important.
True. Well, unless you're 13, like I was when you start running, then it doesn't matter.
Then you can run in barefoot or in sandals in general, or whatever.
Then you can wear the shoes your mom bought you at Shoe Carnival on the back to school sale, and it's fine.
But she had you in Payless walking up and down the aisle in your shoe, in your running shoes.
Yes, exactly. But in general, yes, true. And I think that becomes more and more important the older you are as a new runner. Because as we've already talked about, our bodies kind of keep score of things more as they've experienced more. I mean, I've found that every time I've started again after each kiddo or, you know, after a break, that I have to make sure that my feet are the same even, you know, like your body's been through something new. Make sure that the same kind of shoes fit and the same size shoes. If you've had a baby, make sure you get resized, not the same.
Everything gets bigger.
Almost everything.
Some things shrink, but most everything else gets bigger.
But yeah, I think that that's definitely important. And then sometimes not even on just a shoe, but a recovery shoe. I know I'm talking real extra now, but you know, like making sure that your feet still feel good at home and that you're not, I know a lot of people deal with like plantar fasciitis and that kind of thing. So wearing supportive shoes instead of walking barefoot a lot. Or inserts if you need extra support because shoes don't just do it for you. And prepare to spend some money because running shoes ain't cheap. I mean, I think low end now, unless I find them on sale, they're like $150. Yeah. I think probably my mom spent like $40, $35 or $40 on my first pair of shoes, you know, like.
And also just use your running shoes for running if you can.
Right.
Don't walk around a grocery store, you know, because you're just putting miles on them. You're not counting. If you, for new runners, they may not know, but you can track the mileage on your shoe because each shoe manufacturer kind of has like a recommended amount of mileage for the shoe that you purchase. So you can know that. And then with the different apps on your phone, or even if you just log your running or walking on a spreadsheet, you can go back and you can look at that and see how many miles you put on your shoe. Once you reach the life of the shoe, like Olivia said, I mean, you're really not wearing anything that's supporting your foot properly. So the least amount of miles you can put on that shoe and just reserve it for running will help lengthen the life of the shoe, but also help your feet. So I see a lot of people, they love their running shoes because they feel so good, you know, that they'll wear them to work or whatever, the same shoe. Not all of us are, you know, able to buy multiple pairs of running shoes. You know, we just don't have that privilege, but if you can even just save on the running shoe that you have, that's helpful. I mean, just total disclosure, I did not used to believe this. I would have said false, honestly, Olivia. I really didn't understand until I started putting a lot of miles on my feet.
As somebody who needs a stability shoe, I can tell you it is true.
Yeah.
Because if I tried to wear a shoe that did not have support on the inside of my arches, my knees would ache so bad. And that has been since I was in my early 20s. I've had to do that. You know, it's not like because I've gotten older, like this has been a long time. I've known I need something with stability or else my feet go like this when I run. They turn in. So yeah, getting an assessment at a running store is a good way to figure out if people don't know if they need some kind of special shoe. Because generally, you know, you'll get suggestions for a neutral shoe, which would be for somebody whose feet don't do anything weird or you don't shift your weight or that kind of thing.
I used to go to Academy or like Dick's Sporting Goods and get my running shoes. I don't even know, like I wanted the ones that were really bright and that were in the right price range. So that may have not even been a running shoe. I swear. I don't even know what I was wearing. And Chris was the first person, my husband was the first person to like tell me you need to buy running shoes. And the sticker shock was was quite a bit, unfortunately. So running is not a cheap sport, by the way.
No.
That's not a true or false question.
It's just a statement.
It's just a fact. There is no true or false about that. It's just fact. But does anybody have any wisdom for new runners on shoes they want to share? Olivia hasn't. Like, other thoughts that you have about it, or any tips on where to get the best running shoes for the cheapest price?
Sherry and I talked a lot about shoes today. I feel like,
did you on your run?
We did. Well, and it's kind of funny because Olivia just mentioned going to a shoe store and getting fitted. And I've been running for like 14 years and I had never been for a shoe fitting until a couple months ago. My ex was the one who recommended, like when I was first started running, he would recommend a brand and it wouldn't work out. And then he recommended this other brand and I loved them. And I ran exclusively in that brand up until very recently when I had a bit of an injury, and a sports chiropractor recommended I needed a bigger drop. And so I went to a running store and had my very first shoe fitting. And I felt kind of stupid because I'm like, I've been running for this long. I've completed all these races and I've never had a shoe fitting. But it was a really cool experience and they made it super easy and spent a lot of time with me and were patient. So highly, highly recommend doing that if you're just starting out or if you're like me and you've never done it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good advice. I wouldn't think about that, like feeling like you can't walk into a shoe to get a shoe store to get a fitting because you've been running for so long. You should just know, kind of feeling intimidated, or, you know, I think it's intimidating for a lot of people because they also feel pressure that they have to buy something right then.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the case. I tell new runners that all the time, go to every shoe store and get fitted and see what they say. Does everybody say the same thing?
Yeah, if and they don't have the same brands, some of them.
Yeah, and you may not try on the same shoes at every store. Like, you know, you're not committed to buy anything. And you go where you feel comfortable and, you know, take a friend. Like, you know, doesn't have to be anybody who knows about shoes. But, yeah, I mean, I'm proud that you went and got a shoe fitting, Sherry.
Thanks.
And I've been to all of the running stores in Louisville for different fittings, and they do all do it a little bit different, and some have technology and some do it the old school way. None of them are right or wrong. It's really what you're comfortable with and, you know, what you feel like, did they meet the needs that you had? So I say try them all. That's my thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say Melissa has an important thing she wants to say about shoes.
I do. I was going to say too, that like as a new runner, probably a lot of this doesn't, like, even when you hear like words like pronation or neutral shoe or cushion shoe or drop of a shoe, like all of that probably is a foreign language and there's a lot to learn about that, and learn what you like and what feels good. You know, I think I'm still learning. Like I've rotated through, I think, 6 different brands of shoes, in my running career. And I've not ever landed on like one brand or model that I'm like religious to. So I'm a bit of a shoe ho, but, I would definitely, I mean, I think don't leave the store with a shoe that you have like any questions about. Like if you have any weird feelings or it rubs in a certain place and you're just not sure, don't buy that shoe. I also have like a lot of people have this belief about needing to break in running shoes, and I'm probably in the minority about that too. Like I'm always like, if it feels good on my foot in the store, yeah, I'm going to go run in it. I'm not going to like, I don't. So I know that's different from you, Stephanie. I know you're a little bit more conservative about
girl,
that.
Girl, that's but, why you haven't found the shoe you love yet. You abuse them.
Yeah, I just have kind of thought like, if it feels good, why do I need to break it in? It's ready to roll.
Yeah. I'm older than you though. My knees hurt. I got to break it in slow. I did learn my lesson. I wore my new shoes on the 15 mile run with Lindsay the other day, 14 miles, whatever we did. And that hurt. Shouldn't have done that. They're fine now, but I should have just kept with my, I don't know. It could be in my mind, Melissa. I could be in my mind.
I don't know. I don't have your body, but I don't like to wait. Maybe it's just my impatience.
Well, I also don't like to get your shoes dirty, and I could give a flying fuck if my shoes get dirty. So there's also that dichotomy. But
yeah, I feel like
that's a whole nother. I feel like that could be a podcast topic on its own.
It could.
There's some kind of psychology behind that.
So mad at me. She gets so mad at me if
yeah, Melissa's not even mad about her shoes get getting mud. Dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. If I wear them in rain or if I get mud on them, she gets so mad.
I just don't tell her. Just don't tell her. I swear, I hide it. Lindsay looked down. She said, your shoes are all dirty. Brand new pair of shoes. When we ran the other day, I was like, don't tell Melissa.
Yeah.
She was like, why? Why? Why won't we tell Melissa? She's behind us.
Yes, no, you should not get your brand new shoes dirty.
Okay, new runners, just X that part out for right now and just go back to the shoes are important part. We'll talk about dirty shoes in the next episode.
About that. Just be a Melissa special.
Yeah, just Melissa and me talking about dirty, clean shoes. It's good. Okay, Sherry, I have one for you.
Lay it on me.
Well, I am. Let me scratch this. I'm making notes over here. Okay, this is good. This is funny, but I feel like it's a good one for you. I know this is a hot topic. You ready? Okay. True or false?
I'm ready.
Runners, real runners, don't take walk breaks. True or false?
False. That is 100% false. I feel so strongly about this. And I know that you, the three of you, know this. But like when I first started running, like Couch to 5K is what a lot of people use. And that has walk breaks built in. Now, of course, if you stick with it, the longer you follow the program, the walks get shorter and then they eventually stop. But walking is so, for me, it's so important to have those intervals. And I picked them up when I was training for my first full. I thought, okay, if I have built-in walk breaks, it's going to make that distance, it's going to make a marathon feel a lot more achievable for me. And I still to this day will talk to other people, and whether they're seasoned runners or new runners, whatever it may be, they just have, some of them have a perception that like, if you're walking, you're not a runner. That you should be able to run the entire distance without stopping. And it's just, it's crazy to me because since I've started doing intervals, I can run longer distances. My pace hasn't suffered. You know, I got a PR on a full marathon using intervals. For anybody who thinks that you can't walk, I will gladly show you some examples from my Garmin. of where I've had, for me, really good paces, and I've taken those walk breaks. It helps me recover better. I mean, I preach intervals all the time. I will talk intervals all day long. And for anybody yeah. who's curious, my preferred interval, I like to run 2 minutes, walk 30 seconds. And if you are new, I would say my advice as well is to kind of play around with intervals to see what is going to work for you. Because when I first started, I ran 4 minutes and walked 30 seconds. And that was for a marathon. And it worked for like the first half. And then the second half, I was walking a lot more. And so a few months after that, I was doing a local half marathon and saw a woman from our running group. And I noticed she was doing intervals. So I asked her what she was doing. And she said she was doing 2 minute run, 30 second walk. And that one just kind of clicked for me. But like this morning with Olivia, we were running 1 minute, walking 30 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think some women in our group will do like a 90-30, run 90 seconds, walk 30 seconds, things like that. So mm-hmm. just kind of play around with it and find what is going to work best for you and your goals and leave you feeling good.
Yeah, I even know some like ultra runners that do 5-1, you know, 5 minute run, mm-hmm. 1 minute walk, or 4-2s. I mean, if you go to enough races, like you're going to see it, whether it's intentional or not. People are walking. And so, like Sherry said, a lot of people will just kind of try to start out the gate running the entire distance. And it's hard if you're not conditioned to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people end up trying to run and then stop because they don't see progress. I mean, it's mainly because they haven't stuck with it long enough, but also they're trying to do too much at one time. So I think intervals are a great way to help do that. I know there was a woman in our running group that was like, I didn't know what I was doing. And so later on, I realized it was intervals, but I was basically walking to every mailbox, and then I would run to the next mailbox, and then I would walk to the next, like she was doing these unofficial intervals. And we have some people at Seneca Park that do that with the lampposts, because mm-hmm. I think they're like right at a tenth apart. So just to get back to running and try to, you know, build up endurance. And I think Jeff Galloway, when I looked the other day, I didn't do the math, but I was reading more about the Galloway method, which is interval training method. And I think it said on the website how many people had purchased and used his actual training plans, which isn't everybody that uses the method. And it was over 300,000 people. That's a lot. That's a lot of runners. Like, this isn't an odd thing or like something that is, you don't see very often. It's pretty common, I think. Mm-hmm. So I hope people
will
be okay with it, you know?
You see all these like memes and reels of people who have just completed a marathon and then they can barely walk, or they're having trouble sitting down the toilet, you know, things like that. But what I always tell people as an example is, when I ran, you know, I've done 5 full marathons, and when I ran the New York City Marathon, that was a racetation, I ran it, and then the next day we're in New York, so we are walking everywhere to sight, see, and explore the city, and I felt fantastic walking around. Like, I don't know how many steps I walked that day after the marathon, but I felt great. Mm-hmm. So like I said, for recovery, it helps. And then for me, you know, if your goal is to run a farther distance, or even if you're new, every distance is a new further distance for you. Mm-hmm. For me, it helps to be able to achieve that if I know I have those walk breaks. And then another benefit for me is that is when I remember to take a sip of my water or my nutrition or whatever it is, because as we know, hydration is really important. And so every time I stop for a walk, I take a sip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice little built-in timer. What do you guys think? Do you walk on your runs or do you straight run?
Well, Sherry just outed me, so we did them today.
Do you normally do them when you don't run with Sherry?
I do. Yeah. I didn't. So Sherry and I live very close to each other, and not terribly long after I joined the running group, COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So Sherry was in my running safety bubble. And I've done them since. It got me through running. I ran a 5K the day before I had my first son. I could not have done all that without intervals. I ran my one and only marathon so far with intervals. And much like Sherry, like, I felt really good afterwards. You know, I didn't feel like I was going to die or like everything was all cramped up. So I think that that's definitely attributed to giving your body built in time to recover, even as you're doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And it's very easy to adjust. Yeah. It's easy to adjust as you, like, you know, like I did 1 minute runs today with Sherry, but that's just kind of my, like, I know I can't run for 2 minutes yet.
Right.
So, you know, we're working our way up.
Yeah. And you have that benefit of the, you know, previous experience, you know what you're capable of and what you need to kind of what you need to work with. So that's a safe way to build up for sure. Right. Well, Melissa and I run together. I run with all of you all, but I run with Melissa. I did not do intervals until I met Sherry, and Sherry taught me how to do intervals, although I haven't mastered the fast walk. Apparently I still run. I run fine. It's the walking. I'm slow. I haven't figured that part out yet, but I'm working on it. But Melissa does them also, and I think she's got the walk part down. You seem to be much faster than me. I need to look at your cadence too. and see where I'm lagging there because something's off. I don't know what it is. It could just be my brain, well, but
I definitely didn't always use intervals. And I mean, I'm glad that I've started because it has helped my training. It's funny, like you hear people all the time say, I don't know if you hear this as like a interval running, but I hear people all the time say something like, I'm just afraid that like once I stop, I won't be able to start running again. Like I hear that's like the number one criticism I hear about intervals. And I think there maybe there's some truth to that. I don't know. But like maybe if you're at mile 25 in a marathon and you start walking at mile 25 and you haven't been walking, like, yeah, you're probably gonna.
It's hard to run again.
Struggle.
I know that
yeah.
from experience. Yeah.
But I think if you are consistently doing intervals, you're going to be able to run again. And you're, like Sherry said, and, you know, you're going to feel better. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to tell you. You're going to feel better if you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it just gets, there's definitely science behind it. And obviously, you're using more muscle groups when you run intervals. So that, you know, that's really going to help versus if you're straight running and you try to stop, your muscles are going to be like, what is happening? So,
right.
When we talk about hitting the wall, sometimes I feel like that's what people are referring to. Like you can't move forward if you slow down or stop. Like you said, like mile 23, mile 24. Yeah. That's when intervals would be handy to have in your back pocket. So.
Yes.
Okay. Last true or false question. Melissa, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. True or false? New runners should not get caught up in the comparison game.
True.
That's an easy one.
I mean, I think it's your journey. And, you know, it's being a runner is both rewarding and probably like one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had as well. Like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, I run this Thanksgiving race at Niroquoi Park every year. And, like, I am, the last 2 miles of that race is straight downhill. And it's just like cruise. You put on your cruise control and you go. And I'm like flying down this hill. And I'm not kidding you. Somebody probably at least 10 years older than me is going to pass me. So, you know, I think that like, and good for them. I'm happy mm-hmm. for them that they can do that. But like, if I got caught up in that of like, this person is older than me or whatever, I'm going to feel bad about myself. And it's your journey. You're out, you know, I kind of have to think to myself, like, I'm not winning any races. So, I'm out there to run, to feel better about myself, or maybe to beat a personal goal, or maybe I'm just running for fun too. I mean, that happens. Like I've definitely signed up for races or just gone and run for fun just to see what happens. But I think if you get caught into the comparison game, it steals your joy. And if you're running for joy, you're going to be disappointed if you compare yourself to other people.
Ladies, what do you think about this? I think it's a double-edged sword for me, only when I tell new runners, oh, they're all on social media and they all start following other runners, whether it's Strava mm-hmm. or like Instagram or whatever, it can be really deflating. So it's like you walk that fine line of encouraging people to kind of group runs, or, you know, Sherry and I talked about this the other day, to have new runners come to a group run, whether it's people that are super fast or have been running for 25 years, or they're training for 50 miler and, you know, you just showed up hoping you don't fall down in front of everybody. Like, it's very intimidating. And so it's easy to say, don't follow the comparison game, but I guarantee you, out of all four of us, we've done it at least once. So like, do you have any advice for people if they start to feel like, is it get off social media? Because I've seen people do that. I don't want to do that because a lot of my friends are there. Mm-hmm. My family's there. Like, I don't want to do that. But how do you stay healthy and be realistic about what your own goals are and not worry about anybody? I think now that I'm older, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But I think if I was really young, I would be more worried because I just wasn't as self-confident maybe. But
yeah.
So I was going to say, like, maybe this is a therapist speak in me, but I think that, like, we talk a lot in our group about your why. And so I think that focuses more on your values and, like, what value is it? Like, what value does running have for you in your life? Regardless of goals, goals are something you meet, you check off the box, and it's done and it's over with. But, like, what are your values and what is your why and why are you running? And maybe staying focused on that rather than like a pace goal or a time goal or a distance goal, being more focused on your why.
Mm-hmm. Olivia, were you going to say something?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Go ahead, Olivia.
Oh,
I was going to say, I don't have any advice. Like, I'm with you, Stephanie. Like, maybe for some people, they need to get off social media, but my husband will tell you that I probably have a social media addiction, so I'm not going to get off social media. But I think Melissa had a really good point about like running with joy. And another thing too is that I think your perspective changes with age, because when I was just starting out as a runner, I definitely compared myself. Like Melissa and I have had conversations in the past. I don't want to call it a frenemy because that's not the right word, but there are certain people that you know who you just always want to do better than them. And so like if they're running a race or just out for a run, you're looking at Strava or Garmin or race results to see how you did compared to them. But I have found that the older I get, the less I care. And it's more about comparing myself with myself. And that's not even all the time. You know, maybe one day I do a 5K and I'm like, yeah, I want to see if I can beat my time from the last 5K I ran. But, you know, Melissa and I and a couple of the other women from our running group ran a half marathon back in May. And we were like, you know what? We are going to PR in fun. We don't care what our time is. We don't care at all how long it takes us. We are going to PR in fun. And so I do think that part of it, like Melissa said, focus on your why, make sure you're running for joy. But then also I think, you know, maybe the older you get / the longer you run, the less it may matter.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, I think that if you're just starting out, like, I don't blame you if you're comparing yourself, because mm-hmm. I did the same mm-hmm. thing. I'm sure
like it's normal, right?
It.
Yeah.
It's totally normal, but it's also important to remember that every body you encounter has different goals, and we have different bodies, and our different bodies are doing different things. So it's never going to be a fair comparison.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we've talked about this from like the Facebook group for our running group and how language is always really important, but like if you're in a circle and you're meeting up with a group of people from SRTT and you don't know all of them and somebody says, oh, today's my slow day and I'm running a 9-minute mile, then you're like, oh, you know, my mile is 14
minutes. I
want that
to be my slow.
I know. And they're like, that's not even my fast. What, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It, mm-hmm. And you have to remember that it's not about, like, they're not trying to say that to make you feel bad that they're running, that that's Absolutely. Slow for them. What they're saying is, this is my pace today because I'm working towards X, Y, or Z pace. Like, I want to run a 7:30. So my slow day is a 9, or, you know, like whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's not geared towards you. They probably don't even know what you run. They probably don't mm-hmm. know your pace. Like no they're clue. Not trying to hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think my bigger thing is, well, like with you guys, like today's the first day I've run with you all and for anybody from the group in forever. But I think that's partly because I'm like, I can't even motivate myself to get out there and run when I'm only running a mile and a half. And I know I'm running way slower than Sherry would have run if she'd run without me. Like, and so then I'm like, do I even want to see if anybody wants to run with me? Because I'm going to slow them down. And that's not really, I mean, if Sherry didn't want to run with me, she wouldn't have said yes. She can say no.
You're so true. Like there was someone in our running group several years ago who we met up for a run, like a 4 mile run. And this person apologized to me repeatedly for all of the like extra walk breaks we were taking. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying it over and over, like, you do not have to apologize. Like if I didn't want to run with you, I wouldn't have agreed to do this. Like for me, running is these days, it's very chill, you know? So like Olivia said, like if I didn't want to run her pace or her distance, I wouldn't have asked her if she was running today. And I loved that Olivia, as a total opposite to what I just described, she didn't apologize one time on our run this morning for her pace or for any of it, you know? So I don't know. We all just need, getting back to the whole thing about comparison, like just give yourself some grace, because we're all at different points in our running journey and we all have different bodies and capabilities. So
Yep. And new runners, I hope, just like the takeaway for this is don't be afraid to show up to a group run.
Yeah.
Because if you're asked to come to one, they want you there in the first place for a reason. But second of all, running with other people will change your perspective about yourself and about running. It's, I don't know, running with a running group has totally changed my thought process about running. And my, going back to what Sherry was saying about it, her husband thinks she has a social media addiction. And the last major race that we were tracking, it was probably Chicago. I don't remember, but I got up early. The first thing I did was like check my phone, because I had all these people I was tracking that had started the race. Which race was the last one? Maybe New York City. I don't remember. But I was looking. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm tracking these people for the marathon. And he's like, is it somebody I know? And I'm like, no, you don't know any of these people. And he's like, you are so weird. And I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, why do you care? And I'm like, because I know these people and like, I want to see how they're doing. And then I'm going to send them a message. Or I'm going to post something, or, you know, on the group page, if they're in our running group, or I'm going to send them a ping on Instagram. Like that, I never did that before a running group. I didn't have people to run with. Mm-hmm. I didn't have people to support me. And I think for new runners, if you can get with a group, even if they aren't the same pace as you, they can still be supportive. But you're more than likely going to find people that will run with you and genuinely want to run with you regardless of what their pace is, because running is more than just having a pace and going and running 3 miles or whatever. But the running group has changed my perspective on a lot of those things for sure. So join a running club.
Changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I would not have known the three of you had it not been for our running club. So it's truly changed my life. Mm-hmm. Find you a running club. That's my advice for a new runner.
Find a running club. And we can give you recommendations. Just message us. We have plenty. In the show notes, I'll put like all the running clubs here in Louisville if you want to check them out. Some are paid and some are free. Do what you want to do. Some have paid, like actual training plans, and have coaches. If that's your jam, do that. There are free ones where you can come and get lots of advice without paying. So just, you know, try not to get into your headspace too much about that, because my whole takeaway for a new runner is we all started as new runners. Sherry was not birthed as a marathoner. Like, this was all a very progressive plan and we all had to start at the beginning, and it's very difficult. And we do know that it's difficult to start at the beginning or restart at the beginning. And so there are people out there that want to support you, but also know if you don't want to come to a group run, you don't have to do that. There are virtual communities too, where you can get lots of information, never have to meet up with an actual human being. So it's another way to get support with and get information without having to force yourself to see people if you don't want to. So, any parting wisdom for new runners that we really didn't cover? And those were the major themes that like came out of the things that people said, this would be my advice. Was there anything we missed or like a really high, like important concept we didn't drive to our new running friends?
you know, the
only thing.
Oh, sorry.
Let's see if they're both going to say the same thing. 3, 2, 1, go.
The only thing I was going to add, and it kind of goes along with the true-false statement you posed to Melissa about comparison, mm-hmm. is that I remember when I first started running, because again, I was never an athlete. I just kind of picked it up as a way to lose weight. I was so nervous because I would go to a gym and I would run on the treadmill. And I was so in my head convinced that other people were going to be staring at me and judging me and just watching me the whole time. And it was like a crippling fear. Like I had such anxiety about it. And so I would go to the women's only section of the gym. And then one day the treadmills were all taken. So I had to go to the main section. And one thing that I learned just with time is that everybody is too concerned with what they're doing, that they're not paying attention to what you're doing. And so, you know, just keep that in mind. Like no matter what anxiety you might feel, just get out there and do it. And most of the time, the other people, if they stop thinking about themselves enough, they're actually going to encourage you. They're going to wave and say hi and tell you great job and tell you that you look strong. So that would be my piece of advice, is don't get so in your head thinking that other people are watching you and judging you.
Well, that's a good point. As RuPaul would say, it's not your business when anybody else thinks about you. Go in there and get it done. But
I think I heard a RuPaul quote once that was like, if they're not paying your rent, pay them no mind.
Pay them no mind, child. They're not buying your running shoes. Don't worry about it. It's a newism. It's a podcastism we just came up with on this show. They're not buying your running shoes. Walk away, run away. I don't know. We'll try to firm that up. Yeah, Melissa, what were you going to say?
Well, this is probably a whole other episode, but I was going to say, like, one thing I was, when I started running long distances, I mean, my first race I signed up for was a half marathon. I would go out and run with like no water, no hydration, like no fuel, no nothing. And like, I think at that time it was like winter too. So like even the water fountains along my route were turned off. So new runners, drink your water.
Stay hydrated. That was not any of the comments, by the way. Nutrition and hydration. Maybe they thought that was too far ahead of the game for new runners. But at some point, you're going to need to have water, right? So even if, like you're Melissa's case, or maybe you're going to run a mile, maybe you don't need to carry water on you for that mile, unless it's really hot out, but make sure you're well hydrated before the mile. So like that 24 hours before, you're making sure you're hydrated. Yeah, for sure. It's important because that'll break you down faster than some of these other things we've talked about in terms of your body not wanting to work for you very well.
Yeah.
Not hydrated.
I just remember lots of like GI issues for the longest time when I started running. It didn't matter if I was like running, you know, 6 miles or two, like I would come home with stomach cramps, and I think it all was like, oh, I'm not fueling or hydrating correctly.
Yeah. So we're going to have a sports dietitian come on the podcast this year to talk about nutrition and hydration just across the board, although it's very individualized, but there are some like basic things that everybody can do, right? Regardless of, you know, how far you're running, your pace and all of that kind of stuff. It's really important. So yeah, we'll cover that whole thing on another podcast, but it's pretty important. Good point, Melissa.
Oh, I thought of one more that comes up in our running group sometimes.
Yeah.
I would just say embrace running in the rain because it's actually a lot of fun. And we've seen many new runners kind of freak out as race day approaches. And there's rain in the forecast for race day, and they're really stressed out about it. And that's because, and I, you know, I was guilty of it too when I first started. If it rained, I wouldn't run outside. I would get on the treadmill or something. Mm-hmm. And I have really learned to love running in the rain. Now, it'll get your shoes dirty, so Melissa is not a fan of that. But one thing that we tell people in our running group is that, you know, you should run in all types of weather, you know, of course, excluding lightning or ice. Those are the only two times I don't run. Mm-hmm. But you never know what the weather is going to do on race day. And so you need to be prepared. So embrace running in the rain. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Just don't wear your new shoes.
For Melissa, please. That's a special request. Well, ladies, I've had a lot of fun talking with you all. Of course, I always have a lot of fun talking with you all, but this, I think this is going to be helpful for people who just need to hear these things maybe for the first time, or just like reminders as they've started running. And, you know, I always want to end the show by asking you all, this is the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. So I think the last time I looked, 95% of my listeners identify as female. And they're all over the United States and in like 5 foreign countries at this point, but they range in age as well. But one thing that we all have in common, the guests that come on the podcast, is that we're all BAMRs. So for those who are just listening, that's an acronym for Badass Mother Runner. And no, you don't have to like physically be a mom. It's just a vibe, right? Like your bad mother. So tell me, you all, when you all think about, you know, new runners that are BAMRs, what do you see when you think about a new runner that's a BAMR? And maybe Sherry just said, like, that person that goes out for the first time and runs in the rain and like embraces it, that's a BAMR. But like, any other thoughts about, can you think of someone you've met recently or that you've seen that you would consider a BAMR that's like a new runner?
I would say it's people who embrace being uncomfortable, because when you're first, because if we're talking specifically about newer runners, you're encountering a lot of things that feel uncomfortable and they feel different than what you're used to. So a new runner BAMR is someone who just kind of embraces that. And even if it doesn't feel comfortable, they do it anyway. And I am thinking specifically, can I give a shout out?
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a few shout outs to some people in our running group.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to play favorites. It's people who I trained with recently. But there's a few people in our running group who are newer runners, specifically Mackenzie, Wham, and Lindsay, who all started running in 2023. So mm-hmm. they started running this last year and completed their first half marathons. And, you know, I just remember back in the summer when it was super hot, and that would scare a lot of people off from running. They were out there training for their runs. And Wham was out there with me the very first time she ran in the rain. It was together. So, you know, that to me is what a new runner, BAMR, a new BAMR, mm-hmm. just embraces being uncomfortable, because it's just part of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Olivia?
I was going to say, not giving yourself unnecessary, limitations, like not just saying like, I can't do that just because you can't, you don't think you can do it. Mm-hmm. So not setting limits, just because you feel like you can't do something. Again, I know Sherry mentioned some people that she's run with, and I know that there have been times where they've come out and they intended to run a certain number of miles, and then they end up running a couple more because their body could handle it and they didn't know yet.
Right.
And obviously everybody's body can't do that. Just add on mileage, but you know, if you've put in the time and the work, you know, your body can handle more than you think it can.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, can you think of any, or you're like, nah, I'm the biggest BAMR there is. I don't know. Yeah. New BAMRs.
No. You know, when you were talking about like new runners and just like what I think about, like I think about being brave and, yeah, I mean, I think Sherry kind of mentioned that too, of like, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone, trying something new, putting yourself out there, showing up to a group run, you know, or not. I mean, that's I think that's okay too, but just being brave enough to challenge yourself, I think is a bammer.
Yeah, I definitely did not trust myself a lot in this process in the beginning. But I had other people that were very confident and trusted me to go out and push my limits. And if it weren't for those people, I probably wouldn't have moved, you know, progress forward the way that I did in my running. But all of that to say that it did build my own confidence. Once you start to knock those things down and kind of knock them out, you know, definitely you trust yourself more. Like, you're like, okay, I know I can trust, I know when my body can do something and when it can't. This is safe for me to do, this is not safe for me to do. And you get, like you said, you become a little more brave. And at least, you know, what's the worst? I tried and it doesn't work. Okay, well, I'm no worse off than I was before I tried it. Like, you know, we'll see what it works. Let's throw it on the wall and see if it sticks. But yeah, I think you have to build up to brave sometimes, but it takes other people to push you there.
Yeah, or you have to try again.
Yeah,
and again.
Try again and again and again. Yeah. Well, I definitely obviously think all three of you are BMers. I look up to all three of you for so many reasons. And so thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking to new runners about this. And I know there's going to be some seasoned runners that listen to this podcast too that know you. So be careful. You might like get a DM in your inbox about, hey, talk to me more about this, or you know, they've heard you on the podcast, so they want to hear more from you. If any of you have a public social media account that you want or not that you want folks to follow, I'm happy to put that in my show notes so that people can follow you there and see kind of what your next adventures are going to be and learn from your all's mistakes and your successes as well. And I just want to say thanks to you guys so much for being on the podcast today. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
And you'll come back again, hopefully after June. We'll all come back. We'll convene and try to remember all the funny things that have happened in Michigan. So.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies. Well, have a good rest of your day and I'll see you all soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. If you like what you've heard, make sure you hit subscribe so you can catch the next episode when it's live. You can also follow me and all of my adventures on Instagram at Bluegrass Bammer.